It's all gone very quiet. I'll just wait a moment or two. But exciting Sunday, Vision Sunday. I'm going to share in a moment or two just about what we believe the Lord wants to accomplish, or some of the things he wants to accomplish over the next 12 months. I guess others will come back in a moment or two. So we'll carry on. Today's going to be a little bit longer, possibly, than it usually is, because we just want to talk about, well, a number of different people are going to come up and talk about aspects they're involved in. I just need to explain that what we're touching on today isn't everything that's happening in the church. We'd be here all night, all day and all night to do that. There are so much good things happening. So if there's something happening which you're involved in and it doesn't get a mention, please don't be offended. We want to mainly talk about stuff which is changing and developing over the next 12 months. So welcome to our annual Vision Sunday. I want to inspire you, I want to help paint the picture, big picture, so that we can all understand what our role is within the church vision. I believe it's the fifth Vision Sunday we've had, and I have to say there's a little bit of a natural fear in me as I'm talking today, partly because it's very easy for you to dismiss me as crazy, or you feel sorry for me. There goes Nev again, setting himself up to be shot down. I've got a big vision. And I want us to keep going for this big vision. Well, I think it's big. It depends on your perspective, probably. So I'm going to be sharing a little bit of natural fear. Also fear that some of you will be thinking, please don't set me up for disappointment again. Didn't work last time. What's going to be any different about this time? So, yeah, that's all sort of stuff in the background here which we want to conquer and move on from. The trouble is I can't help it. There just has to be more than what we're currently experiencing. Would you agree? Jesus died for more than what we're currently experiencing. And that's in all of our hearts. And I want to, I was going to say help Jesus, that's not quite the right way. I want to work as hard as I can for Jesus to fulfill the dream that he has for us as a church and us as a nation for that matter too. So last year, if I'm honest, we didn't do quite so well in fulfilling our goals, and I'm trying to learn from some of those things. Mostly, again, to be honest, we missed by a long, long way. And one reason is the pavilion, I think, took much more out of us than we realized. It was an incredible accomplishment to have got in here by Easter Day last year. That was in less than a year from the time we owned the property to actually making it possible for us to use as church. But once we've got in, it's still another thing to run it and to order it and to improve it and to continue all the work which has needed to be done. I was just talking to somebody today and he said, oh, there's a clock in here. How long's that clock been there? And it was a couple of weeks ago. Oh, have you seen the sign in the foyer? No, I didn't see the sign in the foyer. How long's that been there? Oh, that was yesterday. You know, and there's just little things happening all the time, which is great. And they're going to continue to happen. But I think it's taken more out of us than we probably realized it was going to do. But of course, church isn't the pavilion. The pavilion is important to us. It's a building to help facilitate a vision. And to hopefully help us as a resource to finance a vision. But church is people, and that's where our primary investment needs to be. So vision is important. In fact, you can't be a good leader without it. So I'm going to hope you catch some of my heart today, but more importantly, I hope you catch the Lord's heart. So I've summed up our general vision. We do have statements, and they're slightly different to this. This isn't working. I'm hoping someone might bail me out, otherwise. Is that you, Stella? Or? Okay, can somebody look at this for me so that I might try to work it? John, are you any good at that sort of stuff? I'll just try it one more time. No. Okay, thanks, John. So a general statement, building church to make a difference in Reading and beyond. Now, I believe the local church is the hope of the world. Therefore, our vision has church at the center of it. Some people try to correct me. Well, they don't try to correct me, but they're very kind, actually. But, you know, we ought to be building kingdom, seeking kingdom, and he builds his church. Well, I understand completely what they're saying. But actually, church is at the center of God's heart. If we could have the next slide, please. He is in charge of it all. Paul says this in Ephesians. Jesus has the final word on everything. At the center of all this, Christ rules the church. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. I don't know whether you've got such a high view of the church as that, but I have. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is at the center of God's purposes. We're not on the outskirts. We're not unimportant. We're not insignificant. The church, the people of God, not just LifeSpring, but you know, church in Reading, the church in the UK, the church in the world. It's at the center of all God wants to do. I actually believe it's not certain nations which everything is centering round, but actually it's the holy nation, the people of God, which is central to God's purposes. So you can understand why I feel we need to include building church as an important part of our vision. A vision of church making a difference. Next one, please, Stella. I want to add two words, though. Building a strong church to make a significant difference in Reading and beyond. You see, it's going to take a strong church to make a significant difference. Would you agree with me? Not mediocre, not lukewarm, not half-hearted or indifferent. It's going to take a strong church. And I want us to be that strong church. And he builds that strong church. That's Jesus' promise. I will build my church. The gates of hell won't prevail. And we want to make a significant difference. Next slide, please, Stella. One which counts. One which gets noticed. One which changes lives and families. One which glorifies the name of Jesus in this town. Would you agree with all of that? That's what our vision is. That's why we come together. That's why we worship. That's why we have cells. That's why we have leaders. That's why we do all the stuff that we do. That God, through his grace and mercy, might build a strong church here to make a significant impact in this town and beyond. I'm short of a thing. No happening? Okay, thank you very much. Maybe I'll just stick my hand up, Stella. Would that be all right? Then I won't have to keep saying. So, next slide. Why is vision important? Well, here's some scripture again. Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. Proverbs 29. There needs to be focus. Where there's no focus, everyone pulling in different directions, going here, going there, doing this, doing that, we miss the intention that God's called us together for. One translation says, where there's no prophetic vision, the people dwell carelessly. We lose sight, we lose focus, we become unintentional. We need vision to help keep us on track, but more than that, to help keep us all on the same track. Amen? Yeah. Unity of spirit and unity of purpose. Vision, next one please, without action is merely a dream. Action without vision just passes the time, but vision and action can change the world. So I want you to dream today. I want you to catch a dream today. But if it just remains a dream, we've missed it. Catching God's dream and then working to put it into practice, we will accomplish God's purposes for us. So we need both. You see, vision needs to be clear. Next one, please, Stella. I was putting my hand up. Doesn't always work, does it? And the Lord answered me, write the vision. Says Habakkuk, make it plain on tablets, so he who may run who reads it. It's important that we have a clear vision. And today I want to help us understand what I believe God is calling us to today. To make it plain, I want you to hear, I want you to read it, I want you to see it. I want you to be able to run with it, but more than that, I want the vision not just to remain out there on leaflets and on statements. I want the vision to get into our hearts, that we get hold of the Lord's vision, the Lord's heart for us, and we run with it. Next one. I like the way the Message puts it. He says this: write my answer, write the vision on a billboard, large and clear, so that anyone can read it at a glance and rush to tell the others. That's my prayer. My prayer is that really, if any of us were to be sliced in half, the vision would just pour out. And it'd be the same vision, whoever we were, whoever was asking us, whoever was speaking to us, that same vision is just gushing out because it's clear, it's written on billboards, it's written on the billboards of our heart too. So when you leave here, I really hope that we've grasped something. Just a few more thoughts on vision. I like some of these statements coming up. Accomplishing the vision starts with seeing the invisible. Sorry, accomplishing the impossible starts with seeing the invisible. Next one, please. Paul says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. Dreams, imaginations, visualizing, our spiritual eyes being opened are so important if we're going to accomplish the impossible vision that the Lord wants to give us. Pastor Caesar talks time and time and time again about it. We need to be able to have the eyes of our heart open. That's why Paul prayed that the Holy Spirit will come upon us. If you read the prayer in Ephesians 3, that the eyes of our heart may be opened, that we may understand what he's called us to. And I think, well, we'll go on to another statement in a moment or two, but we don't want small vision because God's not a small God. And the eyes of our heart need to be open to the immense riches and the size, the immensity of the call of God on our lives. Another one, please. Alvin Toffler, a futurist. He said this: you've got to think about big things while you're doing small things so that all the small things go in the right direction. I like it. So when we're setting up on a Sunday morning, we're not just setting up for the sake of setting up. We're setting up. So we've got a vision to impact Reading and make a difference. And when we're serving coffees, and when we're coming early to practice our music, and when we're helping at toddlers, and when we're administrating finances or working in the office, when we're working on the building and doing all the different stuff which we're doing it, the little things, because we've got bigger things in mind. And we know that each part has a significant place in that big vision which God's calling us to. None of it is wasted. I came in this morning, somebody was tidying the chairs. I like tidy chairs. I like to start off with tidy chairs. And they might think, why am I wasting my time? That's not wasted. That little thing is important because God's got big things in mind. I don't know what time Glyn got here, duty manager. Certainly here before me, all the lights were on and all this was set up and the coffee smelt good and everything else like that. Glyn got here, it's a little thing in some ways, but it's part of the bigger thing which he wants to do. It's not a waste, it's glorious. It's the way Glyn and others are able to serve by coming and doing that sort of thing. So we keep in mind the big things. Otherwise we think just coming here and opening up at 8:30 or whatever is the deal. No, that's part of the bigger thing. A couple more here. Michelangelo, the greatest danger for most of us is not that our aim is too high and we miss it, but that it's too low and we reach it. Whoa, next one please, Stella, and I'll comment on both together. Never insult God with small requests. It honours him when you think big. Thanks, Rob. It honours him when you think big. This is this guy, Stephen Furtick. He was in Colombia speaking earlier this month, or a couple of months ago. Both are saying similar things. And church, I just hope that in your thinking, in my thinking, in our thinking, we're not insulting God today by thinking too small. I hope that we don't confirm Michelangelo's concerns that the greatest danger is we go for a small vision that we can all accomplish and it just happens. I hope there's something in our hearts that says, God, but you're bigger than that. God, you can do more than that. Do you hear what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm believing for my family. I'm believing for my cell. I'm believing for my church. I'm believing for my business. It's more. It's more. I don't want to settle. I don't want to think small. I'm in a little bit of a tension at the moment. Jackie and I were thinking moving house and I'm thinking all sorts of things. But do I have faith for a house that I can't afford? And some people say, just go for it, Nev. Just go for it. And if faith's in the heart, then you have to go for it, don't you? I'm a bit more practical normally. I just like to make sure that I can afford what I'm going for. But I know if I do it all in natural, we miss God's best so often. We need faith to believe God for the bigger things. So I want a day to talk about a vision. And this is going to be run with us for the rest of the year. A vision 125. You won't get tired of it, but it'll come up quite a few times, I hope. I believe a mistake we made in the past is we had so many goals. And they all carried the same sort of weight. But for the next 12 months, I'm asking us as a church to make Vision 125 our primary focus. The vision to win 100 souls. Lord, if that's too small, please forgive me for thinking too small. See, he wants to touch Reading. There's hundreds of thousands that need the gospel. So I'm sharing a trepidation. Is that too small, Lord? Is that too small thinking? It would be incredible if it happened. That puts it on the other scale, doesn't it? Vision to win 100 new souls and start 25 new cells. I want us to go for it. I want us to lose sleep. I want us to fast. I want us to pray. I want us to do what we want to do. We need to do to see 100 souls saved. And to open 25 new cells. I've no idea how. Children of Israel didn't have any idea how either when they stood on the banks of the Jordan. But they went over and trusted God. Today I want us to go over. I want you to hold my hand. I want to hold your hands. I want us to go over shoulder to shoulder. Say, I'm going to trust God for this. 100 souls and 25 new cells. Now, I think this is a vision worth giving our money and time to. It's never happened before for us. It probably has never happened in Reading in the last few decades. One church winning that number of people. I'm not talking about transfers. To 100 new souls. The people that Geraldine led us in prayer for earlier on today. This is a vision which could keep us awake at night, praying and wondering, how can we do it? How can we reach our neighbours? How can we reach our colleagues? How can we reach those people along the Oxford Road? Pastor Esteban says this, January, pastor from Colombia, do you have a dream that causes you to lose sleep, that makes you nervous, that makes you fast and pray? A dream that makes you so passionate, it provokes effort and hard work? I just wonder whether that could be a dream for us. Whether this could be a dream that we catch in our hearts. If you keep it on the outside, it will kill you. It will destroy you. It'll be too heavy for you. But Jesus says, my burden's easy. My yoke is light. And if that's his dream, and his dream comes into our hearts, we'll just work as best as we can in his grace and power to fulfill it. The results are up to him. Somebody said, why do you count numbers? Because numbers count. Every soul Jesus died for. Every soul Jesus died for. I want us to win at least 100 over the next 52 weeks. Prayer is essential. Faith is essential. Hard work is essential. It could seem impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So my prayer is, thank you. Yes, let's applaud the Lord. My prayer is that we rise up in faith this morning and don't do, as some of you might be want to do, there you go, Neville, setting yourself up again to be shot down. I want us together to be able to embrace this vision. So next year we should have approximately 50 cells and 350 or 400 members in the church. We need to make this vision the sharp edge of the arrow. 100 souls, 25 cells. Yes, there's everything else which we're going to be doing too, but this is the focus. This is the main focus. Everything is building towards winning 100 souls and 25 cells. What do we need to change in ourselves? What do we need to change on Sundays? What do we need to change in Cafe 12? How can we use this building differently? Because we want to win 100 souls and 25 cells. Do you hear the heart? Do you hear where I'm coming from? I want to ask, can we believe God together for this miracle? Will we work together hard, pray hard, do what we need to do to make this vision come about? I believe we can do it with his help and with his hand on our lives. This is G12. This is the Great Commission. Some people say, I don't like G12. You don't like the Great Commission then. This is what the commission is, to go, 100 souls, and make disciples, 25 cells. I've got a question. If we prayed, strategized, and worked hard, do you think this time next year we could present an offering to the Lord of 100 new souls? Wouldn't that be a beautiful gift? Wouldn't that be a beautiful gift? Lord, for you. For you. Of course, it's their eternal salvation, and they will be so excited too. But Lord, 100 new souls for you. That's my prayer. That's my heart. I want to give him that present next year of 100 new souls and 25 new souls. You'll be pleased to know that not everybody will be taking the same length of time talking about their aspects of this vision. I want to move on. A quick reminder of our structure, not to get caught up with that at all, but just to see where we're fitting everything in. Just by the way, I need to just point out from questions which have been asked, senior leadership team, that's like our eldership team. We don't call them elders, but those that are wondering, do you have elders in this church? Well, that would be the equivalent of our elders. They bring the oversight and the support and the direction into the church. We're not going to go through the structure. You've seen that before. But underneath all of that structure, we have these six main emphases, plus the pavilion being the seventh emphasis. And I want us to talk in a moment or two about each one of those different emphases, and I'm going to ask the people who've got something to share to be ready to come up in a moment or two, and we'll be sharing in the order with which which it's written there. So we talked about the Great Commission. I've already touched on all of this. I'm not going to say very much. So that is winning souls, that's making disciples, and that's forming leaders. Do you know, that third part is so, so important. Because if we don't form leaders, we can't open cells and we can't make disciples. Somebody said to me the other day, I had 20 in my cell. I think that's really, really exciting. I said, how many leaders are you forming? Yeah, I need to think about that. You see, you do need to think about it. Because the vision is to form leaders in order to lead cells. 20 in a cell is absolutely exciting. I would be more excited, and I'm thrilled, but I'd be more excited if 2 cells of 10 with 2 leaders, which are discipling and shaping and have more time to form. So G12, winning souls, making disciples, forming leaders, that's the 125. We've got to dream and believe. We need a change of heart. I think I've touched on all of this really in what I've just said earlier on. We need to become much more aware of the not yet churched. As put it that way, you know, there were people coming in who are not used to church, not used to way of doing things. People coming in don't know anybody. We need to be looking out for them, befriend them, care for them, invite them into cells, invite them into our homes, give them a leaflet, help them understand, tell them the encounter's worth going to, and all that sort of stuff. We just need to look out for people and encourage and care for everybody that comes into the building. And you know, dream and believe, touch on that at the moment, but we need this change of heart, don't we? It's a change of heart, and I think this is like a ship, not that big, but it's quite a big ship, that needs to move to that, like everything we do, becomes with a lost reaching slant to it. Our cells are there, yes, to encourage, but actually we want that empty chair filled for somebody else to come in and also receive the gospel. Sundays, yes, they're there for the Lord, they're there for each other, but we want to see more people come in that they might respond to the gospel and get saved. Do you see what I'm saying? Everything we do has that little bit of a slant, so change of heart needed there. 100 souls, 25 new souls. James, come and fill us in on children and youth.
Hello. That's right. It's an honour to be able to speak to you about youth and children this morning. Pastor Nev, Pastor Jackie, Emma and I are 100% behind the vision we believe God's given you. And it's not if it happens, we believe when it happens, as Emma was comfortably whispering in my ear about 5 minutes ago when you said if instead of when.
Sorry.
And so we forgive you for that. We're really excited about what's happening with children and youth. There's obviously lots of things which are constantly happening, but we're just going to update you on new areas we're pursuing and new things we're doing. But I just want, if Jackie, the wonderful Jackie, has just got so much exciting stuff happening. This is a real warrior, and she is a real world changer. Hashtag world changer if you're going on Twitter, at Jackie Curtis or something like that. She's awesome. Jackie, let us know.
Thank you. So I wrote something down, just because I'm a bit nervous being up here, but I might be a bit biased, but I really believe that we can change the atmosphere in our local community by reaching children and their families. That's a real heart of mine, and I thoroughly believe in that. So toddlers continues to run each week, and the craft mornings happen in the holidays, just reaching out families and, you know, somewhere for them to come. But three or four churches have started working together to run a holiday club at the Oxford Road School along the road in the summer. So Dan Hollands, yay, and me are going to be helping doing that with sort of 100 children. So that would be really good and exciting. There's also prayer spaces in schools. I don't know if you've heard of that. That's where a classroom is given over to prayer and just sort of God and quiet and teaching the children about God and forgiveness and hope and different subjects that you sort of teach the children in really small groups. And also, lastly, I only heard about this a couple of weeks ago. It's a new initiative called Make Lunch. And children in the holidays, children on free school meals in the holidays, at school term, in the holidays, they don't get a hot meal. And so the idea is that churches open up their kitchens and give children a hot meal. And that just feels so much part of God's heart, to feed children who are hungry. So hopefully we're making steps to work with, again, with local churches to do that. And I think for me, three or four churches working together to do these initiatives is God's heart for unity and the body of Christ working together. So that's me.
That's awesome, isn't it? I'll pretend that wasn't a question, but that is super awesome. So Jackie and her team do such a fantastic job within this church, often goes unnoticed, but my goodness me, if ever you're free on a Wednesday morning, just come and see Tigger's Toddlers. It's crazy for those few hours of people running around the church, but Jackie is so fantastic, as are Dan and Catherine, who head up Energy, which is our small kids group. So it's 5 to 11, fortnightly on a Fridays. And I just had a great meeting with Dan while sat in a van with him the other day, wasn't it, Dan? And it was great. And so I'm just going to quickly update you on them. So Dan and Catherine have formed a fantastic team, have a leadership team in Energy, and it's going super well. They have success... Oh, that's another bit. Dan has been doing some assemblies in Oxford Road Community School, doing assemblies with the Energy Phil to try to get some of the kids to come along. He's also got an assembly in Catesgrove coming up, and we're really looking to get started of moving into Battle School. Every fortnight, Dan and the guys visit 8 children in the local area, and it's got to the pace where they've gone past the, oh, hi, how you doing? It's not meet and greet. It's building good relationships with those kids and the families as well. And the Energy team are booked in to help at the Oxford Road Fun Day on the 5th of July, which is really exciting. The numbers of non-Christian kids attending is growing as well. So really exciting times in our children's ministry. God is really blessing us, and we're really believing that God is going to use these guys to see amazing things this year for his glory. So, now talking a bit more in the 11 to 30s sort of thing. One of our mission statements for our young people is... Oh, it's gone. Is to see a culture of love, honour and respect to each other, but also to love, honour and respect themselves, our young people. We want our young people to grow spiritually, numerically and have an impact in this town. Dad, if you could never pass on, if you could do that. So we've gone through what Jackie's been fantastically saying about the children's lunches and joint holiday clubs and Energy. But, you know, Change is a good thing, isn't it? Change and new things are awesome. Some people find it really hard. Some people find it really easy. But change is always good. You know, I was thinking of a good example. When we bought this building, there was a lot of change. We were a comfortable, middle-class church in Prospect School. And it was like, yeah, we're going to get the pavilion, woohoo! And that change was so exciting. But it wasn't quite so exciting when we had to get our hands in our back pockets. So the change was really exciting. And oh my gosh, this is tough. But change is always good. And look how we have been so super blessed with this amazing building now. So change is always good. Emma and I, about in November time, really felt the Lord speak to us over three key principles which we need to implement into the young people this year. One was having a culture of love, honor, and respect for each other, themselves, and everyone they come across. The second thing was Sunday nights. So our aim and goal, which we believe God has told us to do, is to create an event for 11 to 30-year-olds. Now, I know what you're thinking, because I thought exactly the same. How does that work? And I was like, this is crazy. I've always been the man who's done 11 to 15s and 15 to 30s. Let's split it up. And when God told me this, I was like, you know when you question God sometimes? Maybe it's just me, you know. God, are you really saying that to me? And I think he was, so I thought I'd do a bit of research. I ring up the other churches in the G12 churches in the UK. So I rang up the Nundies in Leeds. I was like, what age do you do your youth church, guys? They're like, 11 to 30. I was like, oh. So I rang up the Ravellos in London. What age do you do your youth church, guys? They're like, 11 to 30. I was like, oh my gosh, this is a bit strange. Drickus from Windsor, you must not do 11 to 30. So I was like, what age do you do your youth church, Drickus? He's like, 11 to 30. I was like, oh, maybe God's kind of confirming something here. I said, how does it work, Drickus? Give me some insight. You know, I'm a bit like Pastor Nev. I like to know, boom, 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 this is how it works. And his answer was very simple, I don't know. He says, but we have 11-year-olds, we have students, we have young professionals and young families all meeting together in a service, and we have 70 people on an encounter weekend this weekend. And so the Lord kind of, over that time, kind of confirmed to Emma and I that this is something we need to do. So we are going to start a youth and young persons service. And we felt God to do us. So what do we want to do? We want to create the best Sunday evening anyone can ever imagine for all youth and young people, where every single person feels at home. No one is left out. Everyone feels special. And as importantly, everyone encounters God. We want to serve the best coffee, the best milkshakes, and have the most brilliant chill-out times. We want the music on the stage to be the best you're going to see in this town. The messages which the preachers are going to bring are going to be so fun and challenging. The gospel message always preached, and people coming to salvation every single week. That is our great dream, and that is our goal. So we are going to be merging Refresh. We are going to be with Live, and we're going to be seeing 11 to 18s grow in that case, and we're going to open it up to older people and students as well. So on a bit of an emotional part, last Friday was my last ever Refresh. 10 years of fortnightly doing Refresh. And, you know, I was thinking to myself, am I sad it's ending? You know, 10 years, every fortnight, you know, we've seen probably hundreds of different people come through it. And I was thinking, am I sad it's ending? No. Because there is always a bigger picture. It's not about Refresh. It's not about Live. It's about seeing this town changed for the glory of God. And when I know God has spoken to me, and we have to do what he's told us to do, and we want to make Jesus' name famous in Reading. And so that's what we're believing for. So May the 18th, we're relaunching. We haven't got a name yet. If anyone's got any good ideas for names, please speak to Simon. We're going to be relaunching 11 to 30s event, Sunday nights, 6 to 8 p.m. fortnightly. And when we hit 100 people coming along, we'll go to weekly. Let me quickly move on, because I think I'm going to get told off for going on too long. So for the last, I want to publicly honor Andy Dickens for being the most amazing youth pastor ever. And if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here. But Andy did such a great work. But Emma and I feel like it's time to grab a hold of it, being the youth leaders now. And not in a negative sense, but we felt the Lord say we just need to change the way we do sales. And so sales are going to be every single Tuesday for 11 to 18-year-olds to come from 7 o'clock till 9 o'clock, where we're going to have an hour to relax and have some fun. We're going to not do single-sex cell groups. We're going to do mixed cell groups so that we can build a real unity within our young people. You know, like a guy at 17 chats to a girl at 17 and thinks, man, I've never chatted to a girl because I just hang out with a chap, so I must have to marry this lady. Well, no, you can be friends as well, you know. And so that's what we really want to create as well. Emma and I will be heading that up, and we'll be having a small group of cell leaders within us and all younger people who aspire to be cell leaders in that group, and we're going to train these guys up to be the best cell group leaders ever. Is that okay, darling? Good. She's the boss, really. I'm just the man who stands here. A couple of other things we're going into. We're continuing with Wednesday Club. We're moving the time slightly. We're continuing with all the stuff we've been doing. But a couple of extra added things are we're starting Belong again, which is 18-plus event socials. Steve Curtis, are you here, babe? Give us a wave. Stand up. He's a great guy. So Steve Curtis is going to head this up. Emma and I are going to help him for the first few months, and then delegation is such a blessing. We're going to delegate to Steve to crack on with it. So that's going to be once a month for everyone, within reason, over the age of 18 to about 30. We're going to organise some social events where there's no gospel message bought. It's just a time for Christians to hang out with other people, and that the other people will realise that Christians are actually not losers. So Steve's going to head that up, and we do stuff such as bowling, laser quest, all that sort of stuff. So it's awesome. And then the wonderful Rosses, obviously Lisa's not here, she's teaching. James, would you stand up? This guy and his wife are going to be hosting a once-a-month cinema club. For 18 to 30s. We really want to impact that age range, as well as the younger guys, as well as helping students. They are very blessed to have two TVs in the house, one upstairs, one downstairs, one showing a summer blockbuster movie, one showing an indie movie. It's going to be free of charge. The first 10 or so people who sign up can come along. The only bit of Christian teaching that is going to be bought is to James and Lisa saying, we are Lifespring Church. It would be awesome to see you on Sunday. Now have some of our free popcorn and soft drinks and have a nice evening. With the goal of inviting our friends who don't know Jesus yet to come along to an alternative to partying in Redden. So guys, we're so thankful for all your support. Would you continue to pray for Emma and I and every single person who helps out with the youth and children's work? We're believing for big things this year. If Dad was to ask me for a number, which he did, we're believing for 50 new souls this year, minimum, to come in the youth and children. Thank you.
And then James. So that's all very exciting, and James has also been asked to become the assistant chaplain at Reading Football Club, so that's why he's got a question mark. We've just got to work through how the times of all that can get supported and worked out, but that's an exciting opportunity which has come James's way too. So do pray for James and Emma. This isn't so much a church forum with a whole lot of detail, although there's quite a lot there, so it's more just sharing the thing. If you've got questions afterwards, do speak to everybody concerned. Strengthening family. There's no little red names after that because we don't have any champions at the moment. The vision, as you can see there, is to strengthen family and marriage and to give away the good that God's given us. I'm not overly concerned that we don't have champions for that just now. There's a lot of other things happening anyhow. But if you feel God might be calling you to, as a couple, married couple, I think, just to help in all of that, get a team involved, then please let me know. Craig, I don't know where Craig is today. Well, I have a guess where he is, and he's still waiting. I understood an hour ago. I assume that's still the same case for a baby. Craig was going to be sharing on this. Good church. Our vision for good church, just very, very quickly, to be a church which loves well, loves God well, loves each other well, and also loves those not part of the church well. Love at the center would make a good church. Do you agree? Love at the center of our vision. It's so important to make a good church. To give him our best and each other our best too. So Craig, if he was here, he'd be talking about pursuing excellence, and that's important too. So that we did the best that we've got with the resources which we have. We don't want to, you know, the Lord rebukes them in the Old Testament for bringing the lame lamb and the blind sheep. You know, bring the best offering. Bring the best, because he's worthy of the best. And so we want that to be our sort of principle too. Obviously, to embrace him and his presence. He needs to be at the center of everything we're doing. You know, God in the mix. And we need to make space for him. Not even going to try to do this in our own strength. it has to be him and his leading. And, you know, we're not talking on face-to-face, but those sort of opportunities just to come and worship and spend time with him are so, so important. And I thought a good church is a happy church. You know, as I said before, I would love us to have more dancey, joyful songs. Actually, we've got a dancey, joyful worship leader coming along to the church. But, you know, but it needs to be an expression of what's already there. Not let's just turn the music on and have a dance, but to be happy. And the joy of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, is, what's the word? The joy of the Lord. In his presence is fullness of joy. You know, so it relates to the previous point. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. Yes, Nev, you don't know what my work's like. You don't know what my family's like. You don't know what my finances are like. How can I be happy? Nothing to do with that. I'm happy because he's here. And I'm his, and I'm his son. And he loves me. And I want to rejoice and dance and give him the best I've got. Happy church. Happy when we come together. Don't get weighed down with a vision of 100 souls and 25 cells. Don't get weighed down with that. You know, it's meant to make you happy. All right, it's joyful. Joyful church. So I need to give opportunity for others to come in. Two Sunday services is probably the main thing just to mention. Happening from 27th of April, 9:30 and 11:30. The vision we had last year, we're just a month out in fulfilling it in the 12 months. But when Neil came up to me maybe 4 or 5 months ago and said, never felt the Lord's given me a word here, and he could see three services in the next 12 months and people coming in and this, that and the other, I'm thinking, it was interesting coming from Neil, because that wouldn't necessarily be the way that Neil thought, but I'm thinking, I think you're in this, Lord. We need to make space. We need to make space for you to fill this place. And you know, we're filling it 70, 80, 90% of the time and the space. We're going to make more space for the Lord to bring our friends to hear the gospel. So it's part of the vision of 125 and winning souls. I've put freedoms, counselling, healing and deliverance didn't fit up there, but Heather, would you like to come and just share on where we're up to with counselling, healing and deliverance ministry? Maybe why it's even called that.
Right, I'd just like to read just a little bit of scripture for my bit. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And that's what Jesus said when he stood up in the temple. That was his, what he's come to do. And it's also the commission he's given us, so that we can all say, because we have the same spirit in us, that we are anointed to do those same things. And Neville spoke at the beginning about us wanting to be a strong church. And it's really important that we can be strong so that we can love the people that God's going to bring in and is bringing in. So my sort of area of, the passion in my heart is to see healing and freedom for the whole church. So both for people coming in, and a lot of people that will be coming in are going to be people who are really hurting. Like Geraldine was praying for those who need to know the safety of Jesus' arms. But also for all of us, we all have stuff in our lives, either past stuff or current stuff. And God wants us to be healed and whole so that we can love well, so that we're not doing stuff in our own strength, but that we're continually being filled up with his spirit and being refreshed in him. So there's a number of things that are already happening in Life Spring that can help us with that. So we've got encounters, and as Nev said, there's one starting tonight. So we have the New Believers Encounter. You don't just have to be a new believer to go on that. It's always good to be just reminded of of truth, and to just put yourself in a place where God can minister to you. And whenever we create an opportunity for God to meet us, he does. He loves it. So be praying for the encounter, and especially for the weekend, which is in 2 weeks' time. So we've got that happening. We're going to be having at least two encounters a year, new believers encounters. So there's one just starting, and there'll be another in October. We've also started running a healing encounter. So that's sort of deeper freedom, looking at issues a bit on a deeper level, which is really exciting. There'll be another one running in June. So it's really our heart to be a safe place as a church and provide support for those who are struggling with past issues or present issues, as I've said, with trauma or loss. And none of us are immune from that, are we? So we want to be a strong church, but we also need to recognise that actually sometimes stuff affects us. And it's not a shame to come and ask for help. And we want to be a body that really ministers to one another. So whether it's the new people who are coming in that we're really wanting to minister freedom and wholeness to, or just each other because we're just struggling with some stuff, it's all important to God. So Sozo, I don't know how many of you know about Sozo. Sozo is a Greek word which means healed, hold and delivered. That's a new ministry that we've been starting. It's probably about 9 months we've been running that. And it's really to deal with wounds and lies in our lives. So we're wanting to see 100 new souls saved, and we're wanting to have 25 new cells. That means 25 new cell leaders. The enemy might be telling you, that's not for you, that's not something you could do. There might be a lie there you're believing about yourself. There's lots of lies we believe about ourselves. And when God speaks the truth to our heart, it really sets us free. And Sozo is a ministry that is brilliant at allowing God to speak to our hearts. There'll be a leaflet coming out in a few weeks which will tell more, but speak to myself or Deb Burnham if you want to know more about that. I think at some point over the next year I'm hoping to start a 12-step support group for women. Jim's got stuff for men on a Friday, and we'll be developing more groups for men. We want to have some groups for women too. So no definites yet, but that will be starting at some point. And another thing we want to do is we've penciled a date in for September to do a little training or a sort of seminar on hearing God's voice and the prophetic, because we all want to get better at doing that. And so, you know, it's just my heart for us, like Neville was saying, you know, there's so much more that Jesus has died for us, both for us as individuals, for us as a church, and for the people out there. So let's get everything we can.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Sarah. So stuff happening in the church. Jackie going to come and talk about stuff which is happening, us going outside in the community.
Well, I find it phenomenally, phenomenally exciting that we are reaching out for community here. I think this church is placed in the best spot in the whole of Reading. I think it just feels it's such a privilege that God has let us have this building so we can reach out to this community. And I sort of wrote out a vision-y thing, and then we had a meeting on Thursday, and I said to Neville, well, what I really want is that we actually... it's not written there, is it? Anyway, no. We reach out with the love, life and power of Jesus. But what I really want is for us, together with the other Christians, the other churches in this area, to see this area transformed. It's probably one of the areas with the worst reputations in Reading. And I want the power of God to come through us into this area, so actually it becomes one of the best places to live in Reading. And we see people healed, we see people saved, we see people set free, we see alcoholics, you know, set free from their addiction and drug addicts, we see the prostitutes brought out of prostitution into family life and into wholeness, we see the lonely set in families. This is all on God's heart, and God has put us here to do it. So it's so exciting. Anyway, the vision statement we've got down here is that to be centre of community life. The other thing is, I met with a lady who lives on Zinzan Street, actually, and she's really for us, this lady. She's a lovely lady. She's part of a community group. But she said the local perception of us now is that we're a fortress. It's because our doors, we're always shut, you know, because we've got all sorts of things to do with manpower. So over this next year, I want to see the doors begin to open. And one day, there will be something going on and something happening, serving God and the community in this building every hour of every day. And Amen. That's where we're going.
Amen.
Okay. So, there's some good things already happening. We've talked about them. Toddlers, his kids, recovery group on a Friday. There's more. This year, we're going to put on regular fun events for the community. We've already got the Easter event planned. We've got kind of whisperings about possibly tea dances for old people. I'm so excited about that, because look at this. Isn't this lovely? Possibly film nights we're going to have. We'll do events in the summer. We'll do Christmas events. There's room. I mean, please dream. Please dream and come and tell me your dreams, because I think the sky's the limit. But we need what, we could just do anything. We need what God's put on our heart. So that's what we're running with, the bits that God is showing us. We want to provide for and welcome those with disabilities. There are something just really special about reaching out with the love of God to people who've got some sort of limitation, whether it's a physical disability or a learning disability. And I've got really key people on the community team. We've got Marika and we've got Malcolm, who've got a real heart for reaching out to people with disabilities. So we're going to start to develop that, particularly physical and learning disabilities, and for people who are deaf. We're going to hopefully become a church where enough people can sign, basic signing, and we're going to do some training so that deaf people who sign can come in and feel welcomed, and then we're going to have signers up here signing the service. That's one of our aims. But we want to be a really welcoming, warm place for people to come to. Opening Cafe 12. This is one of Neville's little dreams specifically. We want to, I mean, in the end, it needs to be open all day, every day. But we're going to aim for one or two mornings a week. We're going to, hopefully, it'll be a cheap, warm, welcoming place for people to come. I think alongside it, we're probably going to begin to develop other opportunities for people to get their needs met, maybe have Christians Against Poverty providing some financial counselling, probably having a thing called Listening Post where people can come and actually just be listened to. There's a huge need for people just to be heard, not necessarily to be counselled, just to be heard. If you're interested in that, please could you see Neville or I as soon as possible, because we really need a champion to pick it up and run with getting it going. Probably just one morning a week to start with, and then we'll see how we go. Developing stronger links with the community. We've begun that already. It's great. Some people went out street cleaning with Basana last Saturday. Who went street cleaning? Stand up, you great street cleaners. Do you know, there were more people from LifeSpring than anywhere else. Isn't that good? Serving our community. We've got our parish map, which you've all heard probably till you're sick of hearing about. Each cell group's got a street. Cell group went out yesterday cleaning up their street, didn't they? Yep. And I think as a result, someone's come to meet with us today this morning. So that's fantastic. Great stuff. We're making links with local businesses. Paul and Charlie are doing that. We're probably going to have some sort of event for local businesses here. I could go on and on and on. The only other two things to mention, Jim is already running a recovery group on a Friday for men with addictions. That's going to expand, probably not to a whole week program in the next year, but to more and more different programs for men wanting to recover from addiction is going to happen here, which is really key. When you look at a lot of the people who are out on the steps, it's really important that we reach out to that community who are out there. And we're also hoping to become a ready food hub. Ready food distribute food to people who are in need. And we will, when we've got the volunteers available, be a place where they can come and collect their food boxes when they need them. I think that's it, but I just put the bottom all of this to let the Oxford Road and Reading know that God is good, we are okay, and they can have a relationship with the God who loves them and wants to meet with them.
Amen.
So we're going to do it, LifeSpring.
Amen. So exciting, and it's exciting having different people heading up different teams to enable us to do so many different things. I haven't got a slide about nations, but just to say we are continuing our work with nations abroad. Next month, April, we have a pastor from Uganda coming for one Sunday. A couple of months later, Fred and Grace from Uganda will be back with us. They haven't been for 2 or 3 years. They've not seen this building. They hoped to be here on the opening, but didn't make it in the end. Continue to explore our links with Liberia and Ethiopia, and also, of course, the support of Tracy in Mozambique. So there's national, international stuff happening too. Just quickly on the pavilion, the vision, you know, to enable this building to really facilitate all that God wants to do and in church and serving the community. Some of the main focus, we want to finish off the stuff which has been started but not yet completed. So the offering next week, at least £5 per person, hopefully. Everybody, think about that. Hope you've been thinking about it for a month. But much more, if you can give much more, will enable us to do that. And that's, yeah, and then, you know, John said to me the other day, he said, you know, why don't we just have another big offering? Why don't we have a really, you know, let's just go for enough money to get the baptistry in and get the loos at the back and everything sorted at the back there by the end of the year. And I thought, well, amen, let's do that. So I've got a couple of question marks, well, one question mark there, so I haven't talked to trustees and leaders about that, but that would be at least something really worth going for. Kim and I are going up to church in High Wycombe. They bringing in $80,000 a year just through renting out their building. If we could do something, even half of that, even quarter of that, that would make a big, big difference with our finances. So, sorry? Think big. Well, I'm just saying where we start, you know, let's get $80,000 or more. But, you know, so we're going to be looking at that because we need a facility. You know, it serves the community, but it makes money to enable us to serve the community and be the church God wants us to be. And then we haven't got something on finances today, but you can just see there is a goal and it will happen. We'll be repaying £60,000 in personal loans this year on top of everything else, which we're working on to do. So a budget will be coming out at some time and the budget will reflect this vision. Okay, so it's not pulled together yet, but you know, all those people which have been talking today, they will have given Luke what they need to fulfill that which they believe God's calling them to, and the budget will be worked out on that. So we're believing that God will enable us to do a whole lot more than we can even ask or imagine. Amen. So Vision 125, that's the main thing that we are going for. Really want you to dream, I want you to believe, I want you to persevere, I want you to achieve this together. One in spirit, one in purpose. Pull together ideas, work together, all those different aspects which we've touched on. It's just going to need the body working together. That's why the church is so important. It's not just an individual. Let's pray together. Let's have fun together. Let's serve together, give together, and let's encourage each other as we go for what might seem on the 20-something of March an impossible vision. But actually, with God, all things are possible if we believe. I'd like us to stand together. Thank you, Paul, for playing a little bit of music for me. And I'd like us to stand and I'd like us to make a prayer. Say a prayer. You can see what you're going to be praying. I hope you will able to pray this with conviction in your hearts. We're committing to an impossible, well, what seems impossible, but of course with God it's not impossible. And according to his power that works within us, everything is possible. Yeah? Actually, I've just had a thought. Rob, we were going to sing God of the City. Is that coming up now? Yeah. Okay, so we're going to sing a good vision song in a moment. Let's just pray this prayer together, though, and I'd like us all to pray it out together, please. Make us strong in your spirit. Dwell in our hearts through faith. We pray that our spiritual roots go down into your amazing love. Help us understand more fully how wide, how long, how wide, and how deep your love is. May we experience your love afresh, though it is too great to be completely understood. As we commit to a vision which may seem impossible, help us to draw on the riches of heaven's resources and not rely on our own abilities. Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. You know, there's a lot of good people here in the church, but can we just really give the Lord such a mighty shout and an applause? It's all about him. Glory in the church to Jesus. Yes! Yes, Lord! Yes, Lord! Yes, Lord! Lord, we believe there is much more to come. We believe, Lord, we haven't even begun to imagine all that you want to do in this town. Lord, will you inspire faith in our hearts? Will you help us to see more clearly? Will you help us to dream with you, your dreams, Lord, that our lives will be totally different? And as we look back in a year's time, we will think, wow, can you just see what's happened? Because we believed you, we trusted you, we received your resources and your power, and we presented you with 100 new souls, saved and washed clean by the blood of Jesus. Lord, make this vision a reality, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.